Man, I tell you what, we got a few places to go on this deal. I'm going to have Bobby, my wife, to come up and share just a few things, whatever's on her heart to do. But before she does, I have to say a few things. And bless you, Pastor. And the few things I want to say is this. Y'all know you have a wonderful, wonderful pastor. You know that, right? You really do. You really do. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, of course, after the service, Pastor. I've traveled now for Pastor 10, traveled for 28 years, and you go through a lot of different experiences. And I've been in this church a lot. And we've had a lot of different moves. Fantastic things have always been here. It's wonderful. And, you know, your pastor, he's been pastoring for at least 40 years, if not more. And, you know, I call that's a general in God's army. When someone's got 40 years experience in ministry, you know, the word has its place, but you find out when you've been a while, experience is a very major thing to carry in ministry. And that was something we went to Bible school, the same Bible school, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, over 60 years in ministry. We received an impartation from all the experience he had for 60 years. So you're under a very, very seasoned pastor. And definitely called the pastor, loves people, loves Jesus, loves God. And I remember being with him, I don't know when it was, 10 years ago, 20, 30, 50, I don't know. So not that far, I'm exaggerating, maybe 10. And it could be. And he said, you know, I just love to pastor. I love pastoring. I love being a pastor. I love everything about a pastor. And I would just go, man, look at Pastor Bruce, man. He's in his place. He's in his element of just loving on people and living within the God-called gift that God gave him and his wife, both of them. And so I just, you know, I'm just honored to have been with you so many times. Now I want to say something else before Bobby comes up to share. You know, I know 2 years ago roughly that, you know, you had to move from a facility to now you're in this facility. And I don't want to go back there, but I do want to say this. Maybe you moved, but the anointing did not move. Amen. Listen, that's a fact. That's a fact. Because I've been here 2 years ago and I'm here now. And I can tell you this, from what I'm experiencing this morning, your anointing is better than it was when I left. It's the truth. It is the truth. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been in all, I mean, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the anointing in that way. You can sense it. You can sense the presence of it, the inspiration of it. And, you know, some churches could be in the same, have a beautiful, beautiful building, be in the same place for years, and you go in and it's flat. You know what I mean by flat? It's just dead. There's no presence. It's everything's is almost in formality. Though they may honor God with what they say, but there's still this element of the Spirit of God that's lacking. And that's what I love about this church, because you're a Word and Spirit church. You know, we're changed from glory to glory just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But also we're changed, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind to the will and the Word of God. So you don't just change one way. It's not just by the Spirit. And it's not just by the Word. It's by the activity of both. How many of y'all drove over here this morning? How many had to drive? How many used the gas pedal? Okay, yeah. How many of you had to use the brake pedal? Now, what if you only had one? Well, those downhills would be a real challenge, right, without brakes? Are y'all, you see, it takes both to operate a vehicle. Same way, it takes both to live and operate within the things of God. And so, you know, I know what God wants me to do, but then again, here I am, and I think God's changing it, God's shifting it, for this morning anyway, and we'll follow that. We'll see how the Lord goes beyond that. So I just wanted to tell you that about the anointing. You gained. You haven't lost anything on the anointing. You gained. Are y'all with me? You gained. You have more than when you left. Amen. And that means more to me than all the buildings in the world. Are y'all with me? And, you know, thank God for this facility. It's wonderful. And the worship, wonderful. Praise God. All right. Well, I'm going to have Bobby come up. Bobby, come on up and just share just whatever's on your heart. I don't know. I just told us. I know you need to share a few things. So come on up here, honey, and just share a little bit.
Praise the Lord. So, yeah, that was instantaneous. I'm not a speaker like David is, you know, he's so natural. And so when you mentioned to me to get up and say something, I'm just like, oh, God. You know, my heart's like 100 miles per hour and because I don't speak. So if God doesn't give me something to say, we're in a lot of trouble here. But one thing that, and David said just about everything I wanted to. He probably thought I was going to talk on some material I've been working on forever, but I'm not. But we had been with you guys a couple of years ago, and wow, what God is doing in your midst is amazing. Yeah. And you may not see it right now, but us coming in, we can see it, and I can feel it.
Yeah.
The presence of God is so thick in this place.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And you can watch online and view online all you want to, and that's good. That's very good. And you can glean a lot from that, and you can feel. But there is nothing like coming into the sanctuary with the saints, right? Gathering with God, because where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. Amen. God has got a work to do in this place. I see it. I feel it. It's going to come to pass. Don't get discouraged about what's going on around you and what is happening or what is going on in your life. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Give it to Him. Cast all your care on Him, and He will do it. No matter what it is, keep your eye focused on God. He's a good God. He's a good Heavenly Father. I just thank Him for all that He's doing, for what I see when we go out, when we come back year to year to different churches, in God's midst, what He's doing. I just thank Him for it. You know, COVID did a lot. It really did. And it was discouraging. It was discouraging. But God saw COVID before COVID even came about. Okay, God sees everything, even in your life. Okay, He sees what's coming, even though He doesn't always, He doesn't change man, the things that man do. You know, He doesn't change that because He gives man a free will, but He sees it and He can change things. He has a plan that we don't see. God has a plan. So where you are in your life or where you are in the sanctuary, God has a plan for everything. And so just hold to Him because He's going to do it. I promise you, He's going to do it. And I just thank Him that He's always faithful. I thank Him that He is going to do something in the service this morning because we have faced so much opposition to get here. And I just, even to the very moment before us getting here, it was just like ridiculous. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But you know what? God is going to do a work. And I just thank Him for it, and I praise Him for all that He's doing.
Yeah. Thank you, honey. Amen. Thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. I thought you said you didn't speak, honey. That was pretty good, if you ask me. Yeah, oh yeah, she can. She can. Well, I want to give a few things away, and then we're going to endeavor to follow the Spirit of God. I know that we should go and will go, because we got this morning, tonight, and Monday. But this morning, there's a shift, so I'm going to follow that shift. And who knows, I may end up getting into what I know that where the Lord wants to lead us with. Because Sister Pastor said, well, what's going on for this morning? And I told her, I go, well, not in full detail. Because the Spirit of the Lord just changed it. So anyway, let me tell you a few things. You can check the book table back there, whatever you want to do. I have one single CD called Staying Power. It's the dynamic of faith and patience. It's the two working together that gives the ability to just stay with it. Stay with the program. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's called staying power. And especially when you go through tests and trials, the trying of your faith, the devil tries your faith. And thank God for the walk of faith. Thank God for what we learn about faith. It's very true. But the enemy does try to test your faith. He does try to test it. And that's where you have to resolve the Word of God, believe the Word of God, act on the Word of God, speak the Word of God above the test and the trial. You just walk with Christ through the thing. And so, anyway, who could use a little bit of staying power? Oh, man, had to be looking your way. Okay, good for you. That is your CD. I hope you enjoy it. And then I taught this here, I don't know if it's the last time or before. It's called Living an Overcoming Life. It's the cleansing, how the Word... the cleansing of the word and the cleansing of the blood work together. Is very, this series is here because God revealed it. I mean, bottom line, when I saw myself walk through I was praying, I was meditating, and I all of a sudden was watching myself walk through this bloodline. Like it was a pipe. Oh man, I'll explain it. A straight line of blood. I walked through it, and my thought, oh, that's the bloodline, pleading the blood of Jesus. Then right after that, I walked through a water line. That's what I'm going to call it. Same thing, water's coming down. And I'm thinking, what is water? What's a water line? There's not a book on that. Has anyone ever preached on a water line? What is that? And the Spirit of God inside was saying, it's important that you know how both work together. It's important that you know how both work together, the cleansing blood and the cleansing word. Very interesting. Well, it unveiled more and more and more. It's a really interesting revelation. Really is very cool. And that's what this deals with. So anyway, it's a three-part CDs. I'll just give away separate. All right, the bloodline. Who wants to learn a little bit on the bloodline? Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I would throw it, but I'm afraid we'll have a healing service. And then the water line. Who wants to know what the water line is? Or the cleansing word. You'll really enjoy that. And then you're welcome. The third one's called the heart and renewing your mind. Yeah. Did you know? Yes, sir. You know, you can renew your mind, but it is the heart that will keep what the mind is being renewed with. Parable of the sower. A hard ground, hard heart doesn't produce. A thorny ground heart doesn't produce. I'm not going to get detail about that. And a thorny ground doesn't produce. A rocky ground doesn't produce. But it's a ground, a heart. It's a good, honest heart that will keep the word with patience. It produces fruit. So the heart's a part of your meditating, renewing your mind to the word. All right? So it looks like this. If you think you want that, there you go, honey. And then that's it. We'll talk about this later on. We got more than one meeting, which is fabulous. All right, now, go to Psalm 27, if you would, please. And I'm going to teach you something that is not new. It's something that most of you, Proverbs, did I say Proverbs? I'm sorry, Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs, and I may not even have told you the wrong place. I did. Proverbs 18. My apologies, Proverbs 18. I'm way ahead of myself. Proverbs 18. And so there was three prophetic words, and thank God you guys are open and operate and flow and move to the best of your ability with the Spirit of God. Now, when I pastored, I want to say this, we had prophecy quite often. We had tongue and interpretation quite often. And I remember I would say by inspiration, listen, when someone's giving a prophecy, you need to gear in and listen and get focused. And then you judge it based on, is this in line with the word? And number two, does your spirit bear witness with what is said? Because if those two are happening, then you need to pay attention to what was said, because the Spirit of God just expressed, someone spoke by the Spirit for edification, exhortation, comfort. The Spirit of God is speaking for that moment. And here's what I said. And if you don't honor it, if you don't listen to it, if you don't pay attention, it'll stop. Why should the Holy Ghost speak if we're not going to pay attention to what He's saying? That's right. Thank you for your nice overwhelming. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, I was looking and I was trying to pay attention, and I was really looking back over here at our lady there. Ma'am, what's your name?
Cheryl.
Yeah, and Cheryl, you know, I didn't get to hear everything you said. I looked back there, but I didn't get to hear it all, so I really don't know everything that was said. So I want to encourage you with something. When you get a word, man, blurt it out. Give it voice. Loud. So we can hear what's said by the Spirit of God. I was a little discouraged because I didn't get to hear everything that God said through you. And I wanted to hear it. So I was looking. I'm like trying to, you know, okay, see what I'm saying? So thank God you used your gift. And I know what you said was wonderful. I caught little pieces of it. Okay, so give it some. That's right. And then so now. So here's a common thread that I caught with the prophecy, the tongue and the interpretation, what was said, another prophecy. The common thread that the Spirit of God was saying that I caught is, look, bring everything to me, roll it off on me. I'm bigger than the situation, I'm bigger than the problem, and I can solve this issue, I can deal with this issue. Now, do we know that? Yes. But it's spoken by the Spirit of God for this moment so that it can be dealt with and not carried out the door when we leave. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So because the Spirit of God went that way, and even before that, the Lord's speaking to me there about, you know, I want you, and I thought it'd be just an exhortation, but it's going to be in a teaching, I think. But he said, I want you to tell people about their words. That they need to speak words that they're going to walk in. Speak words that's in front of them. Okay, now I'm going to add that. And speak words of faith. Speak words of, you know, what do you... Instead of speaking the problem, is you speak the word against the problem. Now, once again, I know this is nothing new. Okay, I get it. I know it. And I mean, we get over here, we can teach some new stuff. But I act like what Peter said, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, I stir up your mind in way of remembrance. Hello, somebody. So the Spirit of God wants to stir us up for the issue that we can speak faith instead of speaking the problem. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't like go to my wife and say, look, here's an issue, here's a situation, or pastor, here's a problem, here's a circumstance. But then once I do, once I speak that, once there's counsel, once we go back and forth on that, now I need to speak my faith. I need to speak the word of God against or on the situation. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right, now, so I want you to listen to me. If you leave this church and not pay attention to what's said, you're going to miss exactly what the Spirit of God is wanting to say to you today for this moment. It's a voice for now. It's a voice for this moment. It's a voice for, all right, here's how I'm going to deal with this situation. I'm in stuff, and I'm going to bring that stuff to God. But now God is saying He wants you to speak words against that stuff. Speak words of faith. Example, let's go to Mark 11. Whoa, hang on. We got to read this one first. Here I go again, Pastor. How many times have I went to a text and never made it? Dear Lord Jesus, Proverbs 18:21. Most of you know it. Death and life. Death and what? Are in what? What is? So my tongue can speak death. Or my tongue can speak life. Is that right? And I want to put it this way. John Osteen keyed this statement. There's a miracle in your mouth. Well, I can tell this is going over really well. There's a miracle in your mouth. Because life is in your mouth. But the devil would like to get our thinking and our eyes on the problem and the issue and the situation. So I begin to speak death and speak the problem, speak the circumstance. Well, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get on the other side of the tracks. I'm never going to get ahead. And the more you say it, the more you believe it, you're going to get exactly what you said. It's true. And you may not believe that right now, but just keep an open mind. Stay with me for a minute. Let me share a few more things. And at the end of the service, you make a determination whether what I'm saying is biblical or not. But stay open. You know, have you ever heard this? Oh, yeah, I know that church. That's that. Name it, blab it, grab it. No, name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it bunch. You ever heard of that before? Excuse me, have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, yes, we are. But you need to hear me out. You know, you can't get saved unless you name it and claim it. Because those that believe that Jesus Christ raised from the dead and confess Him as their Lord shall be saved. I believe with the heart and I make confession unto salvation. You can't even get saved without name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Are y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
see, they're buzzwords. Listen, they're buzzwords because people took it to an extreme. I get that. Took it too far. I understand that. So the devil makes this buzzword that will turn us off instantly. Oh, that's name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and we turn our head off, turn our mind off, and now the devil knows, oh, they're not going to receive that truth. Because he doesn't want us to receive any truth from the Word of God. Now, the just shall walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so what's the elements of faith? I believe with my heart, and I could do a lot of teaching, but I'm just jumping in this way. Faith believes with the heart, and faith speaks with the mouth what the heart believes. So I can say things, if my heart doesn't believe it, it's not going to happen. And I've said things before that I just went, I rebuke my own words. I mean, it just came out and I went, what? Or my wife would say, do you hear what you're saying? Thank you for that, honey. I rebuke my own words. Father, I don't believe those words. I just command those words to fall down and have no expression whatsoever. Because here's what I believe right here. See, one thing about it is when we teach about faith, and I don't ever get tired about it. When someone teaches on faith, believing and speaking, it always corrects my mouth. Oh, gee, I'm not doing too good in this area right now. But I do believe it. And I want to talk about that element of believing that. So, Bible says life and death, life and what? Is in the power of what? There's a miracle in your mouth. You can speak life over situation, or you can speak death over it. You can speak the word of God over it, or you can speak the problem house getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And yes, it's a real problem. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it can be overwhelming. We're not ignoring the mountain. We're speaking to the mountain. Mark 11:23-24. Jesus said, everyone say Jesus. Just some people don't believe what Jesus said. Because Jesus said to the disciples, whosoever. Now, that's just not to the disciples. Now, that goes to whosoever. So Jesus said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt what he says, but shall believe that those things he saith shall come to pass. Who said that? Jesus. So in other words, if I don't speak to my mountain, the mountain will speak to my faith. The mountain will move my faith instead of my faith moving the mountain. Jesus said, I can have whatever I say if I believe it in my heart. And not doubt it in my heart. Now, I may believe something and then in my mind may have a little bit of a battle. Because I got so many directions to go. Spiritual warfare. How do I know if I'm in spiritual warfare? Well, your mind's on the promise. Then next thing you know, you're thinking about it and you're worrying about it. Well, then the Spirit of God quickens you and you go, oh man, I'm on the problem. I'm thinking about the problem. And it's like what the devil tried to do against the pastor, and he stood against that oppressive heavy feeling. Where's that coming from? He didn't know. It was sure a spiritual attack, that's for sure. And stood against it and got victory. And so what the enemy wants to do, he wants us on the issue, on the problem, and then we find out, oh man, so we get back on the promise, right? I'm believing the promise, and then I get still, and I'm thinking about the issue again. Oh man, I get myself back on the promise. Then I go to bed, and I'm thinking about the issue again, but I got to get myself back on the promise. You're in spiritual warfare at that moment. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, it's a warfare. And then in Ephesians 6, you all know this one there, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now what's the difference between boxing and wrestling? Big difference. I think boxing would hurt a little bit more. Boxing is throwing blows. It's fighting. It's throwing blows. But wrestling is a resistance match. where one person is resisting the other, trying to overpower the other. Are you with me? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And what's going on is the enemy is trying to infiltrate our mind with the issue, the problem, the circumstance, to get us worrying and overwhelmed with it. And so now, but no, I got to get myself on the promise. And so the mind is having a wrestling match. The Word of God against the worry. What God said against the problem. It's a wrestling match going on. It's a wrestling. So who's going to win in the battle of our mind? I like that answer. God. If we will submit to God, yield to God, and then with fortitude and with an act of our will is choose to, okay, God, here's how this is. Okay, I'm impressed with this. Back in 1979, I went through a really challenging situation, very, very difficult. And so I'm laying down, I'm praying, I go, God, what a mess this is. Some choices people made. What a mess this is, you know, talking to God about it. And the Lord just speaks and He says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are fitted to His purpose. He spoke that to me. Now, that's in context of prayer. I get that. But in greater context is for those who love God. If you love God, we're going to say love God. Now, that makes it conditional. If I love God, then all things work together for good to those who love God and are fitted to His purpose. Now, if you don't love God, if you're not walking loving God, that promise won't work. That's conditional. Me loving God. And the Lord said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are fitted to His purpose. And I'm talking to God about the situation, the circumstance, the mess it's creating. And the Lord said that to me. And I'll be honest with you. I said, now I went, what? Now, wait a second, God. Are you trying to tell me what I'm seeing out there, what I'm going through, what's happening right now, which is very, very bad? You're telling me you're going to make it work for the good? Are you kidding me? Now, why? Because I'm in the forest. I'm in the darkness. I'm in a tough place. Come on, someone. But in your darkness, God will give you light. In the darkness, He gives you light. See, look, I might be right here in darkness, but God gives me light of a compass, the light of His Word, the light of His Spirit. There's a prophetic word given, and by this we wage a good warfare. Why does God give prophetic words? I can wage a good warfare. God just spoke. Here's my answer. Here's what I trust and believe God for through the circumstance. So why does God give light in our darkness? Because though we're here, God already sees us over here in a place of victory. We're there, but He sees us here. So He's now, thanks be unto God who always leads us into triumph by Christ Jesus. Leads us. Why? Because yes, we're here, but God sees us here, so He gives us light or word to get out of there over here. So then He says, I'm gonna make this work for the good. I'm going to tell you, listen, that challenged me. It challenged me what I was going through emotionally. It challenged me what I was going through physically. It challenged me what I was going through just regard doing the will of God. It challenged me. And for 2 minutes, I wrestled with that promise. And finally, I said after 2 minutes, okay, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I tell you what, Lord, I choose to believe you're going to make it work for the good. That's all I did. Now, let me say this. Wow, you must have been on a high state spiritually. Let me tell you where I was at on a spiritual level from 1 to 10. -5. Did that make the point? Spiritually, I didn't feel like I was anywhere on a spiritual level to receive anything from God or walk out anything from God. It's not that I was doing anything bad or living in sin. I was just in a very tough situation because of someone else's decision. And I'm living life out because of that. Anyone ever been there before? And God said, I'm going to make it work for the good. Okay. All right, Lord, I choose to believe that promise. And the moment I said that, then He said to me, blessed is a man that will endure. Now, He didn't say that until I said, I believe that promise. Now, all I said was, I believe it. Did it have a lot of emotion? No. Where were you spiritually? Minus five. So can you be in faith at a spiritual level of minus five? Yes, because I walk by faith and not by sight, and I don't walk by my feelings. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Hello, someone. Feelings have nothing to do with it. I may feel like minus five, but I still can speak my faith. Hello, somebody. I still can be in faith even though my feelings aren't at a high spiritual level. Because if it waited for a high spiritual level, at that point, I wasn't there. But God spoke. Believe that promise. I mean, just believed it. Without emotion, without feeling, Lord, I just choose to believe it. So in other words, okay, God, some way you're going to make it work for good. And let me say this, with that behind me, He did exactly that. With that behind me, He worked it all out for the better. He did work it for the better. But then He said, blessed is a man that will endure. Well, I said, now, Lord, I like the word blessed. But you said endure. I don't like that word. I mean, I really do get honest with God at times. I go, Lord, you know, is there another word for me? Because I didn't like the word endure. How many of y'all like the word endure? Yeah, it's hard on the flesh. The flesh doesn't like the word endure. It doesn't like the word be patient through. Wait on God through. He'll give you a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Hey, God, how about just getting delivered out of the whole thing? Sometimes He does. But I'd probably be able to say probably most of the time we have to endure through it, walking with Him by His ability and by Him working through us by His Spirit. Come on, someone, and bringing things up by the Word of God. Us walking with God. All right. So He said that, and I'm like, okay. And sure, now why? Why? Because patience, now listen, because patience gives God time to work. Patience gives God time to work. And then as you walk it out, it calls through faith and patience, we what? Inherit the promise. Hebrews says that. That CD I gave away. The dynamic of faith and patience. Through faith and patience, I inherit the promise. I really believe those that are taught the biblical faith, I believe they're not missing in the faith area. It's in the patience.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
It's true.
That is true.
And there's answers for that. God will even divinely strengthen you to be patient. That's another teaching. Yeah. We're not going to get there. Okay, are we doing okay so far?
Yeah.
All right. So, everyone say that there is a miracle in my mouth. All right. So now, see, you got this buzzwords, right? The name it, blame it, blab it, grab it, broop and all that. It's all it is to turn you off from a real truth. So what does the Bible say about saying? What's the Bible say about saying? Since, you know, they say you're that name it, blame it, blab it, grab it group. And the greatest confession is Jesus is the Lord of my life. I mean, what do you do with that? Now, how about this? In Psalm 107, verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. Oh, so the Bible says something about saying. How interesting. Let the redeemed of the Lord. That I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I've been redeemed from sickness and disease. Thank you, Father. I do remember that. I've been redeemed to where I can pay my bills, praise God. How many of y'all been able to pay your bills before and have some left over? Never? I'm kidding. How many of you are in a place that it was difficult to pay your bills? Okay. Which was better? Being able to pay your bills and have some money left over, that's better. And that is God's plan for us. Okay, I'll go there. Here we go. Pastoring, right? And I went to college East Tennessee. You got a college degree. Okay, just praise God for that. Okay, and then I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, went to Bible school, and made it okay in Bible school. You know, did okay. You know, ate pinto beans and cornbread, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, very, very, but made it, right? So then I started pastoring. Well, my salary is $500 a month. Salute. Praise God. Yeah. Woo! You're in it for the money. Really? Wish you were there when I was making $500 a month. $500 a month. And after 3 months, I begin to worry about it. Because I'm thinking, we got a satellite that, and I inherited all this and I took over the church. We got to pay for it. We don't have the money for it. We've got money due. We don't have money for that. I'm making $500 a month. Dear Lord, how am I gonna live making $500? You see, I begin to worry about it. And so, yeah, I was talking out loud about the issue, and I go, okay, that's it. We got to deal with this. So I went over to the church, and I see it every time, just like it was real. I mean, like when I went through it. I walked to the pulpit, and I said, God, you allow me to minister to people, but I need you to minister to me right now. I need help. So I got off the side, and I got quiet. It wasn't 2 minutes, and the Lord clearly, very clearly, began to speak to me and said, don't doubt no longer. That shocked me. Don't doubt no longer. Wait a second. God, I went to the man you told go teach my people faith. I read every book he's got on it. I read the Bible. You gave me a revelation on faith. I believe in faith. You know I do because you gave me a revelation on it. And the Lord said, don't doubt no longer. Okay? And he went on to say that the 10 spies went out to spy out the land of promise. They came back with a bad report. Are you listening to me? But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a good report. Now, the 10 came back with a bad report because they saw the giants bigger than me. And the giant I was facing was called lack. Oh my God, lack at home, lack at church. We had a hole in the wall when you drove up to our church. Half of it was stucco. Dear Lord Jesus, I ate out of cracked plates. I hate cracked plates. Excuse me. My own little thing there. Don't like cracked plates. I don't like it because I ate out of them for 2 years. I don't like it because I don't want to go back there again. That's my own little thing. It's no big deal. Okay? So if you got cracked plates, it's okay. Just don't invite me over for dinner. Give me a good plate. Okay, now I'm off the foolishness. Let me get back. And then he said, but Joshua and Caleb entered into the land of a promise. The land, this is what God said. The land of abundance for your spirit and your soul and your body. I go, ooh, that's good. It represents the land of abundance for your spirit, your soul, and your body in the new covenant. And he said, they enter into the land of promise because they saw me, God, bigger than the giants.
Yeah, come on.
Well, when God said that, I mean, that gave me two things. It gave me faith and it gave me hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, and the devil is giving our culture hectic things. They're losing hope. They're losing hope with all this stuff. And when they lose hope, they lose the care for life and the care to be free in life. And different things come through the loss of hope. But he gave me hope. And then I stood up and I went, God, I see it. God, I see it. If I'm going to get out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of just... and actually not even the land of just enough, but the land where you're making, what, brick out of straw. I've got to believe that you're bigger than the giant of lack. And if I believe you're bigger than the giant of lack, then I'll move over to the land of abundance. So I'm going to get out of the land of lack, the Egypt, the land of lack. I'm going to get through the wilderness, the land of just enough. Yeah. That's where Christians are living, the land of just enough. You know, your clothes don't wear out. Your sandals don't wear out. The washing machine doesn't wear out, and it gets in a spin. The whole house spins, but you lay hands on that bed, and that thing obeys, praise God. Are y'all with me? You know, you got a car, when you turn it off, it keeps running. Hopefully you've never owned that. Now, why am I saying that? Because thank God he gets us through the land of just enough. Because I was living in lack and I was getting through the wilderness. But God did not want me or you to pitch a tent in the land of wilderness and go, well, praise God, my car's not wearing out, my house not wearing out, and the washing's not, thank God all that's not wearing out. And I remember talking to one guy going, God also wants you to prosper. God wants to meet your need above and beyond. So not only is every need met, but he'll give the desires of your heart, and you're able to give towards the work of God and other people. If I'm in the land of just enough, what do I have to give? I didn't know we're going to end up here, but we got here. Because it really helped me. And I got up after the Lord said that, and I just closed my eyes, and I saw God. I saw the giant Alak. Ooh, I couldn't even see his hand. He was so big. Alak. But I brought God's foot on the giant and crushed it in my meditation. And I said, okay, God, I see it. I see it. If we're going to get out of this spot we're in, I have to believe you're bigger than the giant of Alak. Okay, God, I believe. And I begin to confess. I thank you, Father, for $1,000 into the ministry when I began to pastor. Doesn't sound like much now, but it was big then. And I mean, I got to $1,000 a week and began to confess that. And then I'm okay, Lord, I'm going to believe you for $1,500. God said, no, I want you to believe me for $2,000. And he'll take your faith and stretch it right to the point it's going to break. And I go, God, I don't know if I can do that or not. I know I can believe you for $1,500. God said, I want you to believe me for $2,000. Here's what he said. When you get in at least $1,000 a week, which we get $800, $1,200, $1,500, $500. He said, when you get in at least $1,000 every week, I want you to believe me. I can do that, Lord. That month we got in $1,000 every week. Okay, God, I believe you. And God brought in $2,000 a week. Now, in other words, I'm saying it because God does not want you, I can promise you, he doesn't want you to live in lack. Yeah. Are you here? So we must believe he's bigger than lack. We got to speak our faith about those things. But then you got to operate in wisdom too. I won't get there. That's a pastoral ministry thing right there. I just pump you up. He does the part of the nuts and bolts. Are y'all doing okay?
Yes.
So I began to speak faith. Father, thank you for $1,000 a week. Thank you for $2,000 a week. And God did all that. Father, thank you for increase and growth. And the secretary came in. We owe $1,800 in back taxes. It might as well have been $100,000 at that point. And so, well, okay. And she found out we did. And I got it on the corner. I slept and said, God's bigger. And he took care of it. And you know, we went through a year and a half. I made $500 a month, and I want you to know something. We didn't starve. We didn't starve. We made it. And I paid every bill on time and did not have to borrow money on $500 a month. Isn't it something? Now, we did get in more than $500, you know, from different avenues and different ways. Are y'all with me? Listen, where I was at, we would go trout fishing. Some guys in my church were like, hey, let's go fishing. And I'm like, yeah, let's give it a shot. Trout fishing. So, I mean, I caught all kinds of trout. And, you know, if you get it and you get it out and you put it in water and freeze it, it's like when you take it back out, it's like fresh trout. So I got my refrigerator all loaded with all that. Well, that one winter, the only meat I had was the trout I caught. It was good food. It was good. Are y'all with me? Well, we made it. We didn't starve. And then one of my elders came by and dropped off like $150 worth of groceries. And most of it was on our list of what we wanted to have. God just did things after. Well, then it was the next, now it's next spring moving into winter, right? And so in fall, one guy said, hey, I shot a deer. Would you like some of it? Yeah, tithe that. Yes, praise God. Another guy said, I shot a deer. You want some of that? Tithe some of that, praise God. So I got now two deers, and the guy said, I had a cow slaughtered, and I want to give you some, Pastor. Praise God, we'll take it. So I got some deer already in the freezer. I put another deer in the freezer, and I'm trying to put the cow in there. I got like half of it, and I'm looking. God said, step back. I stepped back. He said, you don't have room enough to contain it. See, God has a way of making a point. Oh, man. So I had to call someone. I go, hey, can I borrow your freezer? I get all this meat. I don't have room enough to put it all. Sure, Pastor, you can put it over here. All right. See, God does now it didn't happen overnight. It was a progressive thing of the Lord meeting and moving more and more and more. Are y'all, we okay? Okay, so that's one part is we can begin to speak our faith in regard to finances. We can rebuke lack, and we can see God bigger than lack and believe God will get us through the land of not enough, through the land of just enough, to the land of abundance for spirit, soul, and body. We can trust God to do that, and then you can begin to speak your faith. Praise God, I call my bills paid. Father, I thank you. I'm living in abundance, even though it's not looking like it. That's what faith is. I'm speaking, there's a miracle in my mouth. How many of y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? Do y'all know the story? The woman with the issue of blood. Remember, she was anemic. She had a flow of blood. Was it for 12 years? 12 years. So, you know, her eyes were sunk back, probably, you know, black circles and all that. And so she spent all that she had, but did not get better, right? And so, but she heard about Jesus. She heard about the healer. And she said, and she said, and she said, and she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be well. And she pressed through the crowd. Now, when you're like that, you're weak. The last thing you want to do is press through a crowd. But she went against that weakness because she knew, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be well. Because she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be well. She touched the hem of his garment. He felt virtue or powerful out of him. He stopped and said, who touched me? And disciples are freaking out. Jesus, are you kidding me? You got this whole crowd touching you. And you said, who touched me? And he said, no, someone. I felt virtue flow out of me. Someone touched me that drew, and I'm adding this, that drew out that power, that virtue. And the one saw the woman and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Now, why are you sharing that story? Listen. She caught up to her words. There was a miracle in her mouth. Come on, man. And she left healed by her faith in the Master. Now, the Lord was really impressing me. We'll go there, then we'll go there. Okay. Now, brother pastor, help me on. Hang on one second. I don't want to forget it. That's why I'm saying that. Help me to remember Psalm 27:1. Okay. Now, let me. Y'all may not be enjoying this, but I'm having a blast. I just want you to know that. I'm enjoying myself, man. All right. Now, remember, I want to talk on something else. Yeah. We'll get there, I think, maybe. Sunday, Monday. In this church, you just don't know.
Yeah, right.
Matter of fact, you want to show up and see what is preached, be honest with you.
Yeah.
So what I'm speaking now is by the Holy Ghost. It's by the Spirit of God. And I promise you, some of you, most of you, need it. And I really sense you drawing into that. Good for you, because you'll get the results of it. Now, I'm going to Bible school, right? I was raised Southern Baptist. Thank God for that foundation. Thank God for being born again and all the truths in the Bible and the stories in the Bible. I thank God for that foundation. It was really wonderful being raised there. Then I became Spirit-filled and then learned more there's some deeper levels in God even. And so then I go to Rhema Bible Training Center with Dr. Kenneth Hagin. Well, I only heard him one time teach something. All I know is that was school got open, so I go over there. And he says, let's go to Mark 11, 23, 24. You know, whoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, cast away, it goes on like that. And so, okay, you know, we go to Mark 11, 23, and he started teaching on, you can have what you say. And I went, what? And he began going, you can have what you say. And I went there going, man, I don't know. I mean, this sounds like, let me get a magic wand, you know, from a fairy tale land, and let me wave it over, and it's going to create something. That was my thought about, you can have what you say. And he kept going over it and over it. 1 month, Mark 11, 23, 24. 2 months, Mark 11, 23, 24. Remember being there? 3 months, Mark 11, 23, 24. Look, if you had a Bible, if it fell down, it opened to Mark 11, 23, 24. that was so open to that scripture. And we just left thinking he's not, and he never changed the text. But he brought out truths from the Word of God all over, different. And I'm still struggling with, gosh, man, I don't know. And the devil, now here's the devil, you're in an occult. I go, how can it be an occult when everything's coming out of the Word of God in its context? So even though I didn't receive it as truth, I kept my mind opened to what was being said. Now, it's truth, but I didn't receive it as truth for me. Because I wasn't convinced that you can have what you say at all. Matter of fact, I was really struggling with it and against it and just didn't know what to think about it. And I'm trying to stay open. Now, go to Numbers, please. Numbers. That's in the Old Testament. I know you know that. Numbers chapter 14. And then he got to the Israelites being led out of Egypt through Moses. Well, that poor bunch, they complained. See, they were stiff-necked, complaining bunch you ever met. And they said, you know, why did God lead us out of Egypt, take us through this wilderness where we can die and starve? We had it made better in Egypt when we were eating melons and fish. Oh, is that right? Well, somehow you missed the part crying out to God because you're under a tyranny and slavery trying to make bricks without straw. Whatever happened to that? Listen to me. A complaining spirit has a selective memory. You can bank on that. Boy, woo. Y'all okay? So, well, God got tired of that bunch. So go to Numbers 14, let's go to 20. He read, and the light went off. Now, I'll explain that in a second. All right, here we go. Numbers 14, 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory and of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times. Now, that's big. See, it just wasn't one time we were stiff-necked.
Yeah, 10 times.
10 times. And when it was the 10th time, that was enough for God. That's the cutoff point. They're not going to change. Okay, y'all, we okay still? So then certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of them who rejected me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he's got a different spirit in him. He has followed me fully. I went and his descendants shall inherit it. Now, those are not going to make it, but Caleb's going to make it because he's got a different spirit. Okay, now, verse 26. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, verse 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings which the children of Israel murmur against me. Now, here's where the light went off when he read this. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken. In my hearing, so will I do to you. And the light went off. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And when you receive light, you gained a revelation. And when you gained a revelation, you own it. It's a part of you now. And I backed up, and you know, when I saw that, you know what I said? Oh, my God, I can have what I say.
Yeah.
And over here's a student over there, and I know what they're thinking. Are you an idiot or what? He's been preaching that for 3 months. Yeah, but I didn't receive it as truth.
Yeah.
It was truth, but I didn't accept it. I didn't receive it, meaning it's not going to work for me. Though it's truth, I didn't accept it and receive it as truth. But I did sit under the word for 3 months and kept my mind open for 3 months. I kept my heart of understanding open for 3 months. Thank God I didn't turn it off. I'm having battles. I'm wondering about it, but I stayed open to it. And then praise God, he read one scripture, the light went off, and I got, I can have what I say. And I don't always do it, but I can have, and I believe it. I believe it. I got a revelation of it. And I see things come to pass because of what I say. And you too. Now watch this. Verse 29. The carcasses of you who have murmured against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number. Now watch this. From 20 years old and above. Meaning what? If you're 19, you're not fully developed yet. God does not hold you completely, fully responsible at 19. But you turn 20, don't blame nobody but yourself. Because that's it. 20's it. You're responsible for you at 20. Isn't that interesting? Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, I could go and show some really cool things right there, but I'm not gonna go that far with it. Of just how the heart and the mouth, Lord, if you want me to, I'll do it. How the heart and the mouth move forward, how the heart and the mouth go forward. It's just a super revelation. We might do it. Now, two people. Everyone say two.
Two.
Out of how many people? Millions. 2 million. 3 million. As we say in the South, a lot of folk. Only two out of millions. Because you know what they said? Oh no, we can go in, we can take it. Their defenses left them. Our God's bigger than the giants and their fortified cities. We can go in and take it. And the ten spies, 12 of them went out. The 12 went out. Then the 10 spies came back and they influenced the whole congregation. Influenced all of them to the negative. How horrible. But Joshua and Caleb, out of the whole bunch, those are the ones that made it. Now, if you're going to live by faith or speak by faith, you know what that means? Everyone's swimming downstream and that one fish is going upstream. What do you think you're doing going upstream? I'm going in a different direction than you, that's for sure. I'm going to get salmon where you don't get it, that's for sure. All right, now let. Okay, look. Numbers 13:30. Are y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more point to make. We'll wrap this thing up. We'll pray for some people. Romans 13:30. Then Caleb quieted and spoken before Moses said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Say they spoke what God said. They were in agreement with God. But the men who had gone with them said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They brought a bad report. And you know, they went on to say, "We're as grasshoppers in the sight of a giant." And you've heard that preached, grasshopper mentality. But you know how we get grasshopper mentality? Because I'm relying on my ability. Not on God's ability. When I'm relying on God's ability, I just now moved above the giants. I moved beyond my ability. Everyone say there's a miracle in my mouth. Life is in your mouth. Now remember, Caleb said we can go in and take it, right? Go to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. This is great. Another thing that helped me a whole lot. Joshua chapter 14. We'll go to verse 6. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Okay. Joshua 14 verse 6. Y'all ready? Are you ready? Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And now watch this. And I brought back word to him as was in my..." We have the same spirit of faith. What's that? We believe. We speak what we believe. We have the same spirit of faith. We speak what we believe. And in context, it's believing with the heart and speaking with the mouth. See, your tongue has to agree to your heart. Are you saying something, ma'am? Huh? Words? Oh, is that? Oh, sign language. Okay, I thought you'd been a prophetic thing over there. Okay, I get it. Okay, now, Psalm 27:1, here's where I want to wrap this up. Y'all, thank you guys. You're doing so well. I have no clue when I got started. God help somebody. So, I need a time watch is what I really need. I get rolling, and I don't know how long it's been. Y'all doing okay still, though? Yeah, I can tell you are. Psalm 27. Okay, now watch. Now, quite a few of you here are dealing with the weakness of your body. It's making you feel weak, be weak, and act weak. And I venture to say a lot of you believe the promise of God. You do believe that by His stripes you're healed. You believe those things. But you're dealing with where you're getting weak and getting tired. And so I want to share something with you. When I was teaching Bible school way back 10 years ago, 12, something hit my body that it made me feel weak. And I remember saying, this is unusual. I mean, I'm normally, and this is my younger years, there's a lot of energy. And I'm just like, you know, it's almost like there's a dead cell in the battery. You guys ever try to do a dead cell? It doesn't work too well. Charge a thing, it still doesn't do well. You know, what does a dead cell in the battery do? It goes, rum, 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 click, 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 in your car. Well, I felt like I had a dead cell in my battery. I kept saying, I don't know what's going on. I'm getting weak. I feel weaker. I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling weaker. Kept saying that for, I don't know, a month, 2 months, 3 months. And thank God for God. I wake up in the morning. The first thing the Lord said was to me, He said, "You are not in agreement with me." No, I'm sure not. I've been in agreement with my body. I've been speaking what my body's feeling. I've been speaking what my body's been going through. Okay, you're right, God. I'm not. All right, so you know what, God? Thank you for showing me that. I repent right now. And Father, I choose to believe your word. And the Bible says, here you go, find it. Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is the light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I said, Lord, that's what I agree with right there. I say of you, you're the strength of my life. I'm in agreement with you that you're the strength of my life. I'm saying what you're saying about my body. You are the strength of my life. Said that. Well, now go to Deuteronomy 33:25. Deuteronomy 33:25. I'm about through here, family God. How many of y'all give me about 5 more minutes anyway so I can close the thing? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40. I don't need that long, but thank you. Do you find 33? Deuteronomy 33. Look at verse 25. Deuteronomy 33:25. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, as your days, so shall your strength be. Well, we wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get in Seattle and get to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning my time. As the days are, so are you my strength. A little on the tired side, but He's still our strength. You with me? That's when you just start believing, confessing those things. So, Father, I thank you. You're the strength of my life. As the days are, so are you my strength. I begin, instead of confessing what my body was going through, being in agreement with my body, I begin to get in agreement with God, what God said about me and the strength he gives me. Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Now, I want you to listen to me. I went that way for months. Within one day, at the end of that day, it changed my body. It's starting getting divine strength.
Yeah.
It worked.
Absolutely.
Did my body feel like it? No. Did I believe the word? Yes.
Yeah.
Did I see how I was missing it? Only because God showed me.
Yeah.
Repented quick and believed quick. And God honored that. Amen? Well, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying to you all. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying. And you all, and so take it. And take it with you home and now begin to speak your faith. Speak to the mountain. Speak to your body. Oh, I got some other things I could share there, but we're out of time. Speak to your body. Things like that, okay? And let God do what God does. So let's speak words of life out of our tongue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray just a minute. Father, we thank you for Holy Ghost. You're such a good part of God. You're God itself, but you teach, you lead, you guide us. And Holy Ghost, thank you for bringing things to our remembrance. Thank you that revelation comes through you. You reveal the thoughts of God to us. You reveal the Word. You're a teacher. You show us things to come. And Holy Ghost, we're so thankful you live inside of us, that we always have access to you, always. So Holy Spirit, please rise up within us and speak louder than our circumstance. Speak louder than our emotions. Speak louder than what we're going through, Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we just want to give you some time right now and minister to people. We just wait on you for a moment, and we want to say we're grateful. Thank you for the prophetic words you gave of comfort, exhortation, and encouragement. And Father, sure enough, we're going to do that. We're going to give you our stuff. We're going to roll our care on you. What we're going through, we're going to bring it to you because you care. And you can do something about it. And now, as instructed by the Spirit of God, that now we need to watch our words. We need to speak what we believe, not what we're going through. We need to speak against what we're going through and speak what we believe. And we thank you for that, Father. We trust you for that. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know all of you. Quite a few of you, but I don't know all of you. And I want to give you the best opportunity in life that anyone could give anybody. And that is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to give you this highest privilege and opportunity that any decision, the best decision ever made, anyone can make. Maybe you've been water baptized, okay? Maybe infant baptized, okay? Maybe you took communion or Holy Communion, okay? But let me say something. Those things do not bring salvation. They're the result of what I do after salvation, after being saved. So if you were here and you're like, you know, Reverend Husky, if I were to die right now, God forbid, I just want to make a point. But if I were to die right now at this very moment, I do not know with a surety that I'd make it to heaven. That's a problem. Because God's Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And children of God know where they're going when they die. They're going to be with their Father. So if you're here going, you know, I've never received Jesus as Savior, but I'd like to pray a prayer to receive Him as Savior. then I'd love to pray for you. And I promise you, you'd make my day. If that is you and you're like, I'd like to pray that prayer, Reverend Husky, would you please raise your hand if there's anyone you've not done that but you would like to? Please raise your hand. All right, next one. Well, maybe you're at the place where you're not sure you'd make it to heaven. You're just not sure. You know, if I were to die right now, I really don't know with all my heart I'd make it to heaven. And if you do not know that, we'd like to change that through prayer. So if that happens to be you, would you raise your hand, please, if you're not sure? Okay, everyone's sure. That is great. Okay, would you look at me, please? That's fabulous. All right, here's the way I believe we need to close this morning. I want to pray for you and lay hands on you. And I want us to believe God that if you need, it's like, Reverend Husky, my body, oh my gosh, I need divine strength. I'm going through stuff. I'm feeling that weakness that was talked about. I don't like it. I want to change, and we want that change to begin now. The moment we lay hands on you starts the change right there. And that's where it's like, Father, I thank you. I receive divine strength. I thank you now. You're the strength of my life. As the days are, so are you my strength. Body, you're just going to have to line up. You're going to have to do what the Word of God says. Are y'all with me? Yep. Now, it could be an instant miracle. It might be a progress. I don't know. That's all up to the Lord. But I do know the Lord will bring change. And I really believe the Lord, I need to do this. So who's here? And you're like, I need that. My body needs that. I want that. Would you come on up for those of you that need that, please? Come on up. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can someone play something or put a CD on or something? Come on up here. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. 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 Lord, we're so grateful. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so awesome. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.